Let's continue reading verses 14 through 20 of Romans 7. Now in these verses, Paul shares with us his experience of inward struggle, what he didn't want to do, often he found himself doing, and what he wanted to do, many times he found himself failing to do. Romans chapter 7, beginning now at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Once again, let's begin this section now with some background notes. The big question concerning these verses in Romans 7 is whether Paul is describing his present experience of internal struggle as a believer, or is he describing his former struggle with sin as an unbeliever? I think the context and argument of the book of Romans seem to indicate that this is Paul's own personal present experience as a believer. Now, we've seen from chapter 5 on in Romans that Paul moves from the subject of becoming a Christian to being a Christian. Remember, Romans 5:1 begins, having been justified by faith. And then it proceeds to some of the blessings and benefits of being a Christian. In Romans chapter 6, where we learn of our spiritual position in Christ, the overall context concerns our sanctification. That is the process of being more conformed to the image of Christ. This is truth for the believer, not the unbeliever. And as we move into chapter 7 and learn about our freedom from the law, the overall subject of the sanctification of the believer continues. The reason the law is mentioned in this context is to show that sanctification of the believer is not through keeping the law. A lot of Christians, I think, are confused on this point. You see, some Christians have the idea that, okay, I'm not saved through the law, but now that I've become a Christian, I guess my goal in life, my aim in life, is to try with all my might to keep the law, keep the Ten Commandments. I'm so sorry. That's wrong. That's distortion. That's not what should be your aim. Your aim should be serving the Lord, loving the Lord, serving Him. The law is good. And God had a purpose in giving the law, but the sanctification of the believer is not one of those purposes. We've seen that one of the purposes of the law is to expose our sinful natures and show us how sinful we really are. Now, we know from other scriptures that when we become Christians, we receive a new nature, something brand new, a divine nature, according to 2 Peter 1:4. Where we read that we as believers are partakers of the divine nature. But we still have that old sinful nature or flesh or indwelling sin, even as believers. That's why we read in scriptures such as Galatians 5:16 that we as believers should walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So even as believers, there is going to be an internal struggle because of the flesh or indwelling sin, this sinful nature that we still have as believers. In fact, it's precisely because we are believers and now have the new nature, new life in Christ, that this internal struggle or tension is magnified. You know, I can think of all kinds of sins that wouldn't bother me in the slightest if I wasn't a Christian. Can't you? I think you can identify here, right? So in these verses, in Romans 7, before Paul goes on to Romans 8, where he gives us the key for victory, here in chapter 7, we believe Paul is describing the present experience of every believer, including himself, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice how he uses the present tense all the way through the passage, not the past tense, which would have been more likely if he was describing his former experience as an unbeliever. Everybody follow this? All right. Now, don't get the idea that Paul is leading a life of sin when he says, for example, in verse 19, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Don't get the idea here that Paul is, you know, a constant failure or immobilized from serving the Lord. No. The point is that because of the sinful nature, the flesh, indwelling sin, Paul is quite aware that he is not free from temptation and he is not free from sin. There is an internal tension that still exists in a believer because of indwelling sin. And I think that we all can identify with this. Can we not? I mean, let's not fool ourselves. We all can identify with these verses that we've read in Romans chapter 7. More I could say there. We need to get to the doctrinal or teaching points, all right? Doctrinal or teaching point number one. The sinful nature in the believer is not removed in this lifetime. The sinful nature in the believer is not removed in this lifetime. Verses 14 through 17. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Notice present tense, sin that dwells in me. Why can't Paul, the Christian, be perfect and always do what he would like to do for the glory of God? Well, he tells us the root of the problem in verse 17. Sin that dwells in me. The sin that dwells in me. Note the present tense. And the same is true in our lives. Why don't we as Christians think nice thoughts all the time, the way we should think and the way we would like to think? Answer: indwelling sin or the sinful nature. The sinful nature in the believer is not removed or eliminated in this lifetime. Now, it will be eliminated in the future when we get to heaven and have our resurrected bodies. How many are glad about that? Amen. You won't have to worry about sinful thoughts or temptation or struggling with any sinful tendencies in heaven. No sinful nature then. Praise the Lord. The sinful flesh will be gone forever. Indwelling sin will be no more. But right now, the tension is there. We must all admit it. Because the Bible teaches that the sinful nature in the believer is not removed in this lifetime. Doctrinal point number two. The sinful nature in the believer is not reformed in this lifetime. Got it? Doctrinal point number two. The sinful nature in the believer is not reformed in this lifetime. Beginning of verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." The flesh here, remember, is another term for the sinful nature or indwelling sin. Notice what Paul does not say. He does not say, "For I know that in me a little good dwells in my flesh now that I'm a Christian." He doesn't say that, does he? And he doesn't say, "For I know that in me, as I mature as a believer, my flesh will get better." He doesn't say that. No, nothing good dwells. One more time. "For I know that in me," present tense, "that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." The sinful nature in the believer is not reformed during the course of this lifetime. Now, a lot of Christians get discouraged at this point because they don't understand this truth. They think that somehow the flesh is reformed when we become Christians, and with the reformed flesh, we can begin to have victory over sin and temptation. No. That's like casting your anchor inside the ship. Everybody follow that? All right? The sinful nature is never reformed. The sinful nature, indwelling sin, is as evil today as it was when you were an unbeliever. The sinful nature is as evil in the mature believer as in the carnal believer. Sinful nature is never reformed in this lifetime. It'll be never reformed, period, even in eternity, because we're gone with it when we have our resurrected bodies. But what about this lifetime? Is there no hope then? Yes, praise the Lord, there is. When you become a Christian, you were born again. That is, you were given brand new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The solution to the problem of indwelling sin is to let the Holy Spirit enable and empower the new life that we have in Christ. That's what Romans 8 is all about, and we'll get there. But right now, recognize until we get to heaven, we still have a sinful nature, and the sinful nature in the believer is not reformed in this lifetime. Practical application. Don't kid yourself into thinking that you don't have a problem with sin. Don't kid yourself into thinking that you don't have a problem with sin. Once again, how many Christians here this morning can identify with the experience of internal struggle that Paul is describing here in Romans chapter 7? I see a few liars out there that didn't raise their hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you're only kidding yourself. You either have too low a view of God's holiness or you have too high a view of yourself. You know, I've met people like this. Not you that didn't raise your hand. All right. I've met people like this that claim, you know, that they've become sinless. You know, they take Romans 7 out of context and say that Paul was describing his experience as an unbeliever, or they say he's describing a hypothetical experience that he would have had if he wasn't a spiritual Christian. And these people actually kid themselves into thinking that they no longer have the sinful nature, and therefore they can live a sinless life. And you know, there are even books in the Christian bookstores these days that push that wrong teaching. I had a man actually tell me once that he no longer sinned. And then he proceeded to tell me all that he was doing for the Lord and how much time he prayed, etc., etc. Well, what about the sin of religious pride? He was so blinded he didn't see my point. And he didn't have a good answer for 1 John 1:8 and 10. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. These verses in 1 John are addressed to believers, not unbelievers. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7 tells it like it is. Don't kid yourself into thinking that you don't have a problem with sin. Not a pleasant note to end on, but certainly it should drive the point home. Don't kid yourself into thinking that you don't have a problem with sin.